this beautiful Mother's Day, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive. It's a living thing, and it will not return to you void. It shall accomplish that which you please. And I thank you, Father, for touching all five speakers, Heavenly Father, that each one will deliver a word in season to us who may be weary, Father God, that today their teaching and expression is not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. And Father, we promise to give you alone all the praise and all the glory for the transform lives, Lord God. Minds renewed, Heavenly Father. Hearts aligned, Father God. And for the salvations that will go forth from this word. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, my wife of 34 years, Sister Jackie Dunn, come on up, babe. There you go. Hallelujah.
Okay, good morning. Okay, our theme is adopted into royalty, into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:18. NLT says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. NIV says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. The Amplified says, for you know that you were not redeemed from your useless, spiritual, unproductive way of life inherited by tradition, but you were actually purchased with the precious blood, that like that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Christ. Easy Version, which is my favorite, says, you know that in the past, the way you were living was useless. It was a way of life you learned from those who lived before you. But you were saved from that way of living. You were bought, but not with things that ruin, like gold or silver. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ's death. He was pure and perfect sacrificial lamb. You were adopted into royalty, into the kingdom of God. Be free. Thinking of how your life was before you accepted Christ, mine was useless. I was of no use to the kingdom of God. I lived for myself and didn't think of others the way God wanted me to. I was living empty life like others I saw around me every day. We were people that didn't know the joy of and the hope of the Lord. When I was young, I was told, and maybe you were also, you have to take care of yourself because nobody else will. You have to look out for number one, you. Well, I'm telling you this today. That is a bold-faced lie, as my mother used to say. And it is from the pit of hell. God has designed you, I'm sorry, it's from the pit of hell. God has designed us to look out for one another. He tells us in his word in 1 John 3:11 to love one another. We are to take care of one another. The enemy speaks lies. John 8:44 tells us, and he speaks all kinds of lies in our head. One such lie he told me was, it's okay to have sex before when you're not married. Your mother did it. Your fathers did it. Your sisters did it. But I'm telling you, it is not okay. Because God says not okay. In Genesis 2:24, 25, 1 Corinthians 7:6, and Hebrews 13:4. You don't have to be disobedient to God's word. You have a choice. Remember, you have been adopted into royalty. You are a child of the king. You have choices. You can choose to do the right thing, the right way, and make a difference in your life and others that are watching you. You can reap the benefits as a child of the king. I used to drink alcohol because my mother did it, my father did it, and my sisters did it. It was a norm in my family. Alcohol was so prevalent in my family, I believe it aided in my mother and father dying at an early age. As I got older, I realized that it was a habit I did not want my children to adopt. The same thing about sex before marriage, lying, drinking, and other bad habits. I inherited from my parents. When I thought about the bad habits my children and the generation after them would inherit from me, I didn't like that vision. I didn't like the example I was setting for them. I didn't like what I saw in my parents. I didn't want my children to have the same experience from me. I wanted my children to make better choices, so I have to be that example of better choices for them. I thought about the danger they could get in, the habits they could start, the opportunities they could miss because of the bad habits they would see in me and learn from me. It would be a generational curse. I decided, no, that will stop now. with me. I stopped the bad habits, and I became a good example. So my question to you is, what bad habits and bad behaviors do you have that kids will inherit from you, or the other young people that are watching you will inherit from you? Do you want that to be the example of bad behavior and contribute to them missing the promises of God? It's time to change the culture, time to change the generations, time to be that example for your family, your friends, and those that are watching you, and those that you're influencing. Today is the day that you say no to those bad habits and bad behaviors. These same bad habits and behaviors that you were told were okay, the enemy is using them to keep you captive. Remember, you were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, adopted into royalty. Be free. Let's all be free. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Beware of danger. Be on the lookout for being hurt, from being disappointed, abandoned, embarrassed, lied on, talked about, and betrayed. Keep living, and you know at some time you will experience this. What's worse is that these experiences are caused by people we know and love, and we come in contact with daily. Here's the danger. Every time we think about what happens to us, we begin to relive every aspect of that past hurt or pain. How did you feel when you heard that song? You remember that? All of that stuff came back to you. You remembered. These thoughts conjure up all the negative feelings of hate, anger, frustration, anxiety, doubt, fear, insecurity, and shame. As these emotional and mental characteristics take shape, it causes us to hurt ourselves and sometimes others, especially those who are closest to us, including our children. And that sets up a vicious cycle. Another name for this phenomenon is called a stronghold, better known as resentment, offense, animosity, spite, annoyances, bitterness, manipulations, and even depression. It is a stronghold because the person, place, thing, or situation has power over your emotions, thoughts, and actions. And every time we fall prey to these strongholds, they get stronger and more powerful. However, we do need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. There are several sources of how these strongholds were constructed in our lives. I'll talk about two of them. Number one, we inherited them, okay? But we weren't aware of that, okay? So we get a pass on that. Number two, unforgiveness. We are fully aware of that, but we don't want to let go and let God. We have to let go and let God. This is the solution. It's found in the Word of God. Every solution is in the Word of God. Every one of them. Okay, so here's our breakthrough. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And then in verse 12, the beginning of verse 12 in chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we have to remember when these people come against us, it's not them. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. Number one, Matthew 5:44 tells us to pray for our enemies and to love them. Ask God to help you to pray for them. Pray for them the things that you want for yourself. Pray for good health. Pray for provision. Pray for safety. Pray for prosperity for your enemy. And let God give you that release. That's what we need. We need that release. Number two, don't wait for the negative action of others to turn into a resentment. Matthew 18:15-17 tells us, go to that person. Talk to them. Tell them what they did. Be honest. It's okay. It's okay to have those feelings. It's okay to express yourself in that way.
And then 15 through 17 or 16 and 17 tells you some other things if that person doesn't accept it. Okay? But that's what we do. We need to go to one another. We are all created by God. We are all his children. We need to go to them. So if you want a breakthrough today, if you want that breakthrough, let's begin the journey of prayer, forgiveness, and honesty so that we can truly embrace the reality that we are adopted into royalty and that we are queens and kings of the Most High God.
Good morning, New Day. So, adopted into royalty is our title for this morning. Our scripture reference is 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from that empty life you inherited from your ancestors. God loved us so much that he graciously paid the ransom to free us from the generational strongholds the enemy used to enslave us. Now, many of you know that I'm a social worker, and I've been in this field for about 24 years. One thing that we have to do, which is the worst thing that I feel we have to do, is remove children from their parents. But we never want to do that, but sometimes it's necessary to separate children from their parents to protect them from harm and danger. In our child welfare system, children are separated from their parents, and there are a few plans that we work towards, which is a permanent plan. Either reunification, we try to reunify the children back to their parents, try to put services in place to get them healthy and whole, adoption, legal guardianship, or long-term foster care. The ideal plans are reunification or adoption because those seem to be most permanent. In our system, not everyone achieves this level of permanency, but in Christ, we all have the ability to be adopted into his family. The child welfare system reminds me a lot of our lives in Christ. Do you guys know that when Adam and Eve sinned, God removed them from the garden to protect them? It was for their own protection. Sometimes separation is necessary to initiate restoration. There was something that had to be done so that we could be restored and adopted into royalty. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose, so that we may be redeemed and receive the benefits of royalty. So three words came to mind for me: separation, intervention, and restoration. God was that intervention. So I want to first define adoption. What it means, an action or a fact of legally taking another person's child and bringing it up as your own. This is a choice. This relationship is a choice. You go into an agreement. This is a permanent, lifelong relationship. When a child is adopted, they receive a new identity. They receive a new name. This is what happens. You receive a new name, a new birth certificate. They receive all the benefits legally as if they were in that birth family. God has taken us into a relationship, and it was his choice to send his son to die so that we can be restored and adopted into royalty. Next, I want to define foster care, which is the least plan that we like to see for our kids. It's a system where a minor is placed into a group home, a ward, or a private home of a certified caregiver. It's a temporary situation for which a period of time a child lives and is cared for by people that's not their family. But many times children, the ideal goal is adoption, but sometimes children sabotage that because they're hurt, they have pain that they've experienced, and they let those things affect their future and their future inheritance. We do the same thing. We have a plan. The plan is adoption into royalty. But we sabotage that because we've been hurt, we've been traumatized, we've let things interfere with us reaching that goal of adoption through Christ. And we carry around that hurt like it's our identity. But God has adopted us as his own. As with legal adoption, we have a new name, a new identity, and we're eligible to receive the benefits of royalty. Many of us are living as if we're in long-term foster care. This is a temporary plan, but we've been in this state for years. We've been bouncing around from home to home. We've been bouncing around from situation to situation, relationship to relationship. But God is saying, I'm right here. I'm your father. I gave you a new name, a new identity, and I have a plan for you. So I want to give you guys a visual. This visual came to mind. Imagine you're standing in front of a banquet hall. You're on the outside and you're looking in. It's glass. It's see-through. You can see everything inside of it. We see people dressed up in their finest clothes, tuxedos, ball gowns. The room is beautifully decorated. There's a feast being prepared, and we're on the outside wishing we were in there and asking God, why can't we have that? Why are these people always blessed? Why are these people always so happy? Why can't I ever have anything nice? And God is saying, who told you you can't? You're asking God to just let you stand in the doorway, let you have the scraps and the leftovers. But God is saying, you are the guest of honor. This feast and this gathering is for you. This room is filled with purpose, connections, destiny, and everything that you need to fulfill is in that room. You wonder what's holding you back from stepping into that room? It's unforgiveness. You have to let go of the people that you're holding down because you're not moving either. You're not moving into that room because you're so busy worried about this pain and trauma. I'm out of time. Sorry. Come back for round two.
Hey, royalty. 1 Peter 1:18a says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. Peter is talking to the first century Christians, not unbelievers, first century Christians. And what he's saying is he's telling them, reminding them of how God has demonstrated his love toward them, that he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Here we are 20 centuries later, and God is reminding us of the exact same thing. How many of us know that we have been adopted into royalty? You may not feel like royalty today, but God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He has reminded us that we are children of the King. Now, this particular scripture is more about holy living than it is about position and status. It's about our identity in Christ. And how many of you know how important that is that we actually know who we are? We do things, we behave, we speak, we interact in different ways when we don't know who we are, when we don't know what our purpose is in God. And we know that our purpose is not what we decide. Our purpose is what we discover when we are in Christ Jesus. So it's the representation, our identity in Christ, and truly representing and presenting ourselves as ambassadors for Christ. Our royalty began in the garden, Genesis 1:26, when God gave us dominion over all the creeping things and over nature. And unfortunately, we had a setback. And most people say things like, oh, Adam and Eve, God, if it wasn't for them, you know, why would she talk to the serpent? Well, she became distracted. Does that sound familiar? She became deceived. Does that sound familiar? And when you have those two combinations, there's disobedience that follows shortly after. So we do it today. The things that God has told us we have dominion over, we get distracted, we get deceived when our money is funny and our change is strange. I'm old. We forget. We entertain the serpent. When the Bible tells us, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There is nothing that we cannot overcome in Christ Jesus. No matter what the insurmountable obstacle is, we have been adopted into royalty. Our most salient example of royalty is last year when we found out about Meghan Markle. Pastor took my nugget last week when he kind of gave it. But Meghan Markle, we had no idea who she was unless you watched Suits on HBO. But Meghan has been adopted into the British royal family. How many people thought, oh my gosh, she married a prince? She married a prince. But there's certain rights and privileges that she receives now because she is a royal. She has security, she has protection, and she has a level of power. Her security is unparalleled. Wherever she goes, they know what's going on before she knows it. If there's imminent danger, Meghan has no idea what's going on. But how many of you know when you have salvation in Jesus Christ, there is imminent danger in the heavenlies at all times? There's a warfare for our souls that have been ransomed from hell. We have a security that the Lord has blessed us with, and we don't even know the power that we have. We have protection. Wherever she goes, She doesn't worry about nothing, not one solitary thing. On Facebook, she was denied access to Facebook because there's certain misconceptions and things that go on Facebook. And it's true. We're one person on Facebook, another person in the church. We need to get off of Facebook and put our face in the good book. And that's what would help most of us. We also, she has the rights and privileges, the power that she has, the thing, she's an ambassador. She goes around the world and she touches the people over in Bulgaria and Yugoslavia and Romania. And we're ambassadors for Christ. How many people want our Jesus because of our example? How many people understand that there are strongholds in our life, but it's not a curse? It's a pattern of incorrect thinking. Change your mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It is the mind of a servant. And if you're more concerned about other people, the Lord will always take care of your stuff. We don't know who we are because we don't have the revelation. We don't have the revelation because we don't have the truth. And the truth is the word of God that is preached here every Sunday. But you have to have the ears to hear. Because where there's no revelation of God's word, there is no comprehension of his voice. But you are a royal nation of a holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are not like that, the disobedient ones, for you are a chosen people, royal priest, holy nation, you're God's very own possession. God wants to do a magnificent work in each and every one of us. But we must first understand who we are. We are God's divine. We are the elect of God. We are the righteousness of God. I don't care what you said or what you did or what happened this morning when you came in. You ask God to forgive you and walk in it. Take authority over your royalty. God bless you.
Bless the name of Jesus. Back in the 1800s, a lady by the name of Anna Reeves Jarvis fulfilled the desire of her mother who had died. Her mother had a vision for Mother's Day, and she wanted all the mothers in the world to have a day where they were honored. So Anna Reeves Jarvis, she fulfilled that for her mother. She campaigned after her mother had died to have a day so that all women of the world could be honored. But it wasn't fulfilling for Anna Marie. She got it done. Not Anna Marie, Anna Reeves. She got it done, but in the process, she lost her mind. And in the process of losing her mind, she ended up in a mental facility, and then she died, but then she died with the regret of having even created the day. Bless the name of Jesus. And there's a man named Jesus who fulfilled the desire of his father. And his father had the desire that all mankind would worship him and be a part of his kingdom. But because man had sinned and fall short, he had to mend that relationship. So he gave his only begotten son to mankind. And because he gave his only begotten son to mankind that died and was resurrected, we have been adopted into royalty. Anna Reeves couldn't get it done, but Jesus got it done. And because Jesus got it done, in Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. And so all I want to say is this morning is that only have we been adopted into the kingdom of God, and we are royalty, but he took it a little step farther. He made us heirs with Jesus Christ, and we have an inheritance. The only way you get an inheritance is somebody has to die. And Jesus died to give us an inheritance. So what do we get? We get benefits because we are royalty. I can have joy, peace, love, and the Holy Ghost because I am in the family of God. And because I have benefits. All I want to ask you today, are you ready to tap in to what God has given you? If you're ready to tap in, just tap with your neighbor and say, I'm about to tap in. So you say, what does tap in mean? What does tap in mean? That means I'm going to get all God has for me. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be presence. I'm going to be looking like I'm royalty. I'm going to be acting like I'm royalty. I'm going to be talking like I'm royalty. I'm going to be worshiping like I'm royalty. I'm about to tap in. Some of y'all looking at me still don't know what I'm talking about. You used to act crazy. You ain't going to act crazy no more. You used to go to the club. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you were there last night. You was in the club with your boo thing. You no longer going to have a boo thing. You going to have a man thing. You going to have a husband. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm about to tap in to all that God has in store for me because I am royalty. I am royalty. Some of y'all don't believe you're royalty. I am royalty. I have been adopted in the family of God. I'm royalty. I have benefits. I have an inheritance. You ready to tap in? You ready to tap in? No, you're not ready. You ready to tap in? Get all that God has for you. And you know what? He's already died for you. So you don't have to worry about getting yourself together. Just submit to the will of God. Submit to the word of God. Be who God has called you to be. Come on and let's tap in. I am royalty.